raving mad. And this was a fool's errand. No way in hell Pendergast could have gotten as far as the cottage. The rain continued, hard and steady. It kept growing darker, to the point that it almost felt as if night were coming on. The trail became fainter, the bogs pressing in on either side, and in places the trail crossed watery areas on corduroys or lines of flat stones. With the mists, rain, and darkness, DeGusta began finding it difficult to locate each next cairn, peering into the murk for a long time before spying it. How much farther? He checked his watch. 12:30. He'd been walking 2.5 hours. He should be practically on top of the cottage. But ahead, he could see only gray moorlands emerging helter-skelter from mist and rain. He hoped to hell he would find someone at the cottage, and that there would be a fire going and hot coffee, or at least tea. He was starting to feel a cold, penetrating chill as the water worked its way into his clothing. This had been a mistake. The ache of the injury was now joined by the occasional shooting pain down his leg. He wondered if he should rest again, decided against it now that he was almost there. A rest might stiffen him up and make him even colder. He stopped. The trail had ended in a broad, quaking pool of muck. He looked around for cairns that might lead through it and saw none. Hell, he hadn't been paying attention. He turned, looking back over the trail on which he'd come. Now that he looked at it, it didn't look like a trail, more a linked series of dirt patches. He started to retrace his steps, then stopped. There seemed to be two ways he could have come in, two wandering paths. Examining them both closely, he couldn't see his footprints in the hard surface, now puddled with rain. He straightened up and scanned the horizon, looking for a telltale spike of granite. But no matter how hard he stared, he could see nothing but gray, boggy swamp and tatters of mist. He took a deep breath. The cairns were placed a couple of hundred yards apart. He couldn't be more than 100 yards from the last. All he had to do was go slow, take it easy, stay calm, and get his ass back to the previous cairn. He took the right-hand path and moved slowly, stopping every now and then to peer ahead for the cairn. After going about 50 yards, he concluded that this could not be the way he'd come. The cairn would have been visible by now. Fine, he would take the other path. He turned back and retraced his steps about 50 yards, but for some reason, it didn't return to the fork in the trail that had puzzled him previously. He went a little farther, thinking he had misjudged the distance, only to find the trail dead-ending at another bog. He stopped, controlled his breathing. All right, he was lost. But he wasn't that lost. He still couldn't be more than 100 or 200 yards from the last cairn. What he had to do was look around. He would not move until he had oriented himself and knew where he was going. The rain gusted, and he could feel a cold trickle down his back. Ignoring the sensation, he took stock. He seemed to be in a bowl-like depression. The horizon was perhaps a mile away on all sides, but it was hard to tell with the incessantly moving mists. He started to take out his map and then shoved it back into his pocket. What good would that do? He cursed himself for not bringing a compass. At least with a compass, he could have known his general direction. He looked at his watch, 1:30, about 3 hours to sunset. Damn, he said aloud, and then louder, damn! That made him feel better. He picked a point on the horizon and began to scrutinize it for a cairn. And there it was, a distant vertical scratch in the shifting mists. He worked his way toward it, stepping from one gravelly patch to the next. But the bogs conspired to block his every turn. He kept having to go first one way, then another, and then retrace until it seemed he was stuck on some sort of snake-like island in the middle of the bogs. Christ, he could see the stupid cairn not 200 yards away. Coming to a narrow stretch of bog, he spied the trail itself running along the other side, a sandy piece of ground winding off toward the cairn. He experienced a huge feeling of relief. Probing this way and that, he looked for a way across the narrow bog. At first he could find no clear passage, but then he noticed that at one point the bog was interspersed with hillocks, close enough together to allow him to step across. Taking a deep breath, he stepped out onto the first hillock, tested it, put his weight down, and brought his other foot over. Doing the same with the next, he stepped across the bog from hillock to hillock, the black muck quaking below, sometimes bubbling up with marsh gas, disturbed by the vibrations of his footfalls. He was almost there. He reached his foot across one large gap, placed it on a hillock, pushed off with the other foot, and lost his balance. With an involuntary yell, he tried to leap over the last piece of mire to hard ground, came up short, and landed in the bog with a heavy smack. As the clammy muck settled around his thighs, pure hysterical panic took over. With another yell, he tried to wrench one leg free, but the movement only pulled the rest of him in deeper. His panic spiked. Yanking the other leg had the same effect. Struggling just sucked his body deeper into the icy pressure of the mud, the effort releasing bursts of bubbles that broke all around him, enveloping him in the stench of swamp rot. "Help!" he cried, the small part of his brain not yet in panic mode, registering how stupid the cry was. "Help me!" The muck was now above his waist. His arms flailed instinctively, trying to push himself out, but this merely anchored both his arms and drew him in deeper. It was as if he was fastened in a straitjacket. He thrashed, trying to get at least one arm free, but he was powerless, like a fly in honey, sinking slowly and helplessly into the mire. "Help me, for God's sake!" DeGusta screamed, his voice echoing over the empty moors. "You idiot," that small rational part of his brain told him. "Stop moving." Every movement was driving him farther under. With a superhuman effort, he willed his panic into submission. "Take a deep breath. Wait. Don't move." It was hard to breathe with the pressure of the mud encircling his chest. It was up to the tops of his shoulders. But by not moving, by remaining absolutely still, he almost seemed to have stopped sinking. He waited, trying to overcome the panicky sensation of the mud creeping up toward his neck, slower now. Finally, it stopped. He waited in the driving rain until he realized that he had in fact stopped sinking. He was stable, in equilibrium. Not only that, he now realized he was only 5 feet from the trail on the other side. With exquisite slowness, he began to raise one arm, keeping his fingers straight,